Excellent. Thanks for leading this morning. I almost broke into Spanish. It's been quite a few years since we were leading teams into Spanish cultures, but almost broke into some Spanish on those, one of those songs. I want to make a correction in the bulletin. Arabella's name doesn't have an A on the end. It has an E. Her name is Arabella. And it means answer to prayer. Cool meaning, too. So, Arabella. But if you're trying to type it into your phone or whatever, the autocorrect always makes it Arabella. I don't know what happened on the computer, but anyways. So we all know and call her the right name. She might not remember for a few years, but her parents will. What's the best gift you remember getting? Something that when you got it, you went, yes, that's just what I was looking for, hoping. You got a what? A wife? Awesome. They are an incredible gift, and society sure has distorted that to calling them curses, all sorts of terrible names, but a great wife is an incredible blessing. Awesome. Another gift. Sorry, I missed it. A great gift you've received. You got a dog? Cool. Four-legged friends are a lot of fun. And I heard another one. God. Yeah, what a great gift, eh? He's given himself. We're going to celebrate communion this morning. A lot of those great gifts we've built ourselves up for, it's so good for a week or two, or maybe even a few months, and then, sure would like that over there, right? We want something else. I'm not talking about being content with what we have or grateful this morning. As we walk through our renewal series, 2 Chronicles 7:14. But before it comes up on the screen, who can quote it? We've been going through this series for a while. Somebody want to be bold and stand up and quote it for us? Maybe even two of you together. Yeah. Excellent. Good. Now it will come up on the screen. I'll read it again. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. That's how far we've come so far. God is a God. He's alive. He hears. And today we move on, and I will forgive their sin. And next week we'll look at and heal their land. And forgive their sin. What a gift. What a gift. And everyone needs this. And that will forgive their sin. What a promise. What a gift is offered. But a gift not only needs to be offered, it needs to be received. Forgiveness is a primary need of all people. And God knows it. He's been working on it ever since humankind rebelled against him. The story unfolds in Genesis 3. It's a primary need of all people. Right? Who's blown it this week and needed some forgiveness? Good. Those honest ones raise their hands, and the other Mennonites just raise their minds. Forgiveness is a primary need of all people. Everyone needs it. And he's been offering it. He's been offering this gift consistently, story after story unfolding. It's part of his character. He loves people and wants to give them what they truly need. And he keeps offering forgiveness and offering forgiveness. And it needs to be received. A gift isn't exchanged. It doesn't exchange hands until it's received. Forgiveness is a primary need of all people. Forgiveness is a primary message throughout Scripture. It's not secondary. It's not just something, you know, I kind of add this on. It's not optional. There is no real relationship with God or even with each other without forgiveness. It's a part of what we need to do and experience and receive. And it's a primary message throughout Scripture. We're going to celebrate communion here in a bit. Forgiveness is a primary reason. Primary reason. One of the uttermost reasons why Jesus came. And it's only through him is there forgiveness of sin. And forgiveness results in transformation. Forgiveness does so much. It does free us. It lets us start anew, right? Wipes that slate clean. Scripture says, when we're forgiven by God, our sins are removed us as far from the east is from the west. Right? You can't connect those. It's way over there to way over there. They don't, or they're buried in the deepest parts of the sea. It's complete. We're freed. And it's only in Jesus that there's forgiveness. And it leads to a transformed, a new life, a whole new direction. Matthew 26:26-28 says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples. And he said, eat, this is my body. So he's giving them a new symbol. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Why for many? It says in Scripture, it's his desire that none should perish. Here it says, it's poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Because others won't receive it. He extends the offer of forgiveness. Some choose to reject it. Have you received his forgiveness this morning? Have you received it in the past? Are you receiving it in an ongoing way? We all need to. It's a primary need. It's an ongoing need. Yes, we're forgiven. When we're forgiven by God, we're adopted into his family, and that doesn't change. And we need ongoing forgiveness because none of us have this perfect. Even after we're forgiven. Acts 2:38. And Peter said to them, this is Peter preaching, trying to make things clear right in the beginning, soon after Jesus' resurrection. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. It's only in him. For the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, another gift. First gift is forgiveness of your sins. Those things that have hold us out of relationship with God. Forgiveness is a primary reason why Jesus came. And only through him is there forgiveness of sin. A lot of the world would preach other ways. God's revelation, his word, makes it really clear. Jesus is the only acceptable sacrifice. Only way. To really be forgiven of our sin. And forgiveness results in transformation. We receive the Holy Spirit. We're committed to walk in a new way of life. It's not just, oh, thanks for forgiveness. I'll go keep going my own way. No, it's being transformed. Paul Tripp says, there simply is no sin struggle within going on in our bodies, nor tempting evil without, those things that are enticing us from without us, that lives beyond God's forgiving and delivering grace. It's by grace through faith that we receive His forgiveness. But we're studying in the Old Testament. Forgiveness is all about in Jesus. And there's no other way. So how or why can God offer forgiveness here in this passage in the Old Testament? 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, right? Live differently. Then I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Forgive their sin. How can he offer it in the Old Testament before Jesus has come? I'm going to read Luke 24, and then we're going to watch a little video clip. Let's look at this for a couple of minutes. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you." This is Jesus speaking. "That everything written about me," that is Jesus, "in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." He ties the Old Testament with the New and says there's forgiveness in his name. And he says this has all been prophesied. This has all been taught before. But we'll look at this here a little bit more. But how could the people of the Old Testament times, how can God promise it here in 2 Chronicles 7:14? Let's watch this video clip and I'll continue.
Why was God so harsh on people in the Old Testament and more forgiving in the New Testament? You know, my first reaction to that question is to say he wasn't, or he is. He wasn't as harsh as you think, and he is more harsh than you think. But that may not be the most helpful thing to say. It may be that we should just acknowledge that this text, this question is probably coming out of reading lots of stories of battles, horrible battles, lots of stories of harshness. There is a lot of death and killing and earth swallowing up families in the Old Testament, and you don't read much of that except in Revelation. So you read Jesus with an incredible open-heartedness towards tax collectors and sinners. So, yes, okay, that's there. I mean, there's something to this question. And the answer is probably signaled in Luke 4, where Jesus comes into the synagogue and he says, this is being fulfilled in your hearing. He read Isaiah. And the day of the Lord is at hand. And what he reads and he stops at a certain point in Isaiah just before he gets to the day of judgment and wrath. So with Jesus has come into the world salvation. I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. John 3:17. And so the window that we have of Jesus in the world is a day of salvation, a day of offering forgiveness, a day of dying for sinners, a day of holding out his hands and beckoning. And all that in the Old Testament was preparation to show how wrathful and how just and how true and how glorious God is and how terrible sin is. And now you're getting Jesus, who is mercy incarnate, grace incarnate, forgiveness incarnate, open-heartedness incarnate, saying, this is what's available for you. And so I think there's an intention that the Old Testament looked bleak, sin looked horrible, God looked just, and very, I don't want to say very little, much less mercy proportionate to what you see in the 3 years of the ministry of Jesus. And that's intentional. This is what God's heart is to the world right now. Come. And then the New Testament closes with another Old Testament. The book of Revelation is horrific. So we're in a window right now. So if people are watching this right now, they should feel, I'm in a window of mercy. And I should embrace it so that I can escape the wrath when it comes again.
Did you hear his first statement in answer to the question, why is God so harsh in the Old Testament and forgiving in the New? He says, well, he wasn't, then he is. I think we really do misread the Old Testament a lot. You know, even consider the book of Jonah. Sends Jonah to the Ninevites, a decidedly sinful, mean people to everyone else. Jonah hated them so bad, he didn't even want to preach to them because he knew God was gracious and forgiving and that they might repent. In fact, he feared that. We didn't want them to repent. And he was all upset when they did. But that's God's heart. That's God's heart. He doesn't bring judgment willy-nilly or out of just a reaction. Yes, he's teaching. He is holy. Sin is really horrible. And has horrible consequences. But his heart that none should perish. He's been working at this. But we're really slow to learn, slow to really comprehend how horrible sin is and how devastating it is and how holy God is. And that if we're part of the kingdom of God, then we've said, we will follow you. And the people keep rebelling against him and going their own way and doing horrible things to one another. And we would hate it if we had an unjust God. Right? We want justice in our world. Someone harms one of our children and we go to court. We don't want the judge to say, you know what, he was just upset right then. So what he did to your child doesn't matter. No, we don't. We want justice. We want justice. And God is a perfect God of justice. But he is also forgiving, and he always has been. Why or how can God offer forgiveness in the Old Testament? Well, it's the same as today, actually, on the same terms. It's those who took God at his word, who believed him. It's by grace through faith. It always has been. And it continues to be. Those who believed God. Abraham believed God. And he acted on it and was credited to him as righteousness. He believed him, took him at his word. Even 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. This is a part of a bigger explanation that I'm not going to go into, but go into 1 Corinthians 5, read it for yourselves. But Christ is the Passover lamb. Just like the Passover lamb, right? They'd go out and find an unblemished animal and sacrifice it. But it was temporary. But it was taking God at his word that we do this regularly, recognizing that our sin deserves death. And this animal is taking that for now, but they were looking forward. They didn't have a clear vision on what they were looking forward to, even though it's in the prophets and in the Psalms and in the law of Moses. It's all there outlining the Savior to come. But it's those who took him at his word and received the gift of forgiveness. And it wasn't just the Israelites. There's many, like the Ninevites, many others, there's other individuals, right? They went, hey, you serve the real God, and I want to serve him too. Absolutely. You take God at his word, there's forgiveness. Forgiveness is a primary reason why Jesus came, as only through him is there forgiveness of sin, right? It was incomplete in the Old Testament, but now the Passover lamb has been sacrificed. We don't sacrifice anymore. We take him at his word. This is what he's done. And we've received that gift of forgiveness. And we walk in freedom. Our slate is wiped clean. Amen? When we receive forgiveness, it's done. And we're free to walk forward. Will we need forgiveness tomorrow? Yeah. Welcome to life on the planet. In a fallen world. But it's in Jesus we have forgiveness. And forgiveness results in transformation. We don't just aren't content to just go our own way anymore. And a changed life includes forgiving others. They're inseparable. Us receiving God's forgiveness. We prayed it this morning in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. They're linked together. They're inseparable. I don't want to dwell on this a lot this morning. I'm not trying to talk about forgiving each other or others who have wronged us in the past or harmed our family or friends or whoever else. But they are absolutely connected in Scripture. It demonstrates, if we're unwilling to forgive someone else, it demonstrates we haven't really come to terms with God, received His forgiveness as a gift. We haven't really understand how bad our sin is, that it deserves death, or something is broken there that we are unforgiving towards others. Corrie Ten Boom has all sorts of things. If you ever want to do a study, if you really struggle with forgiveness, read some of her stuff. Healing is linked to forgiveness. I'm convinced that unforgiveness is a primary reason why growth is stunted. I haven't really received God's forgiveness. We're unwilling to forgive one another, and it stunts our growth. We're stuck there. To forgive, Corrie Ten Boom says, is to set a prisoner free. And to discover the prisoner was you. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. Is there someone who comes to mind that we would want ill, something rotten to happen to them rather than God's best? It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. Again, Corrie Ten Boom. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with the command, the love itself. But we take him at his word. When we really go on a journey in recognizing how much we need forgiveness. How much we have needed if we've come to faith in Christ, and how much we need it in an ongoing way and willingly. Freely I've received, so freely give. Right? This gift, share this gift with those around you. We're going to celebrate communion. It says, examine ourselves in the Word. Consider that. We'll be passing out the bread here in just a couple of minutes, but I want to pose a dichotomy here of what's going on. There's an enemy that doesn't want us to understand forgiveness or to receive the gift of God that is offered. Satan. And his native language is lying, deceit. And he loves to condemn. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to seek and to save the lost. To offer forgiveness for whoever will receive it. The devil is the master of deceit and condemnation. Here's an example of this. Russell Moore has said of Satan, no one is more pro-choice on the way into the abortion clinic. And no one is more pro-life on the way out. Convince people, oh, it doesn't matter. You can take this baby's life. It's your choice. Just solve this. But then he's the first one to condemn on the way out. and there's horrible grief going on in people's lives, they don't know there's forgiveness. Satan and the world, even the church, poor professing church, has communicated some real wrong things. Your sin, one, is either too much for the grace of God, you've done something unforgivable, or your sin isn't worthy of death. It's not that bad. You're better than that guy over there. But God would say, no sin is greater than my mercy and grace. There's forgiveness available. And no one is righteous enough to earn my mercy and grace. Don't compare with yourselves. Compare with my holiness. And none of us make it on our own. I'm convinced that we have a propensity to believe one way or the other. Either I'm pretty good, gone to church all my life, done these things, pretty nice guy, not really understanding the gravity of my sin. That's we have the Old Testament, we better dive back into it. So we're not getting God's holiness and we're not getting the horribleness of sin and the consequences of it. We're trusting in ourselves to some degree. Right? Not as bad as Hitler or some other really evil person. We can't trust in our own righteousness. There is forgiveness, but we come on God's term fully acknowledging our sin controls us. That's what we're slave to. Until we're freed from it, we're given forgiveness. But don't believe the other side either. Our propensity is to believe, well, I'm so bad, I'm unforgivable. I'm just horrible through and through. And I think we have a propensity to go one way or the other. Sometimes we shift, right? Certain conversation, certain season of life, we're trusting a little bit too much in ourselves. Other times we think we're the scum of the earth and no one can love us. Both of those are false. Both of those are false. Will we take God at His word? Forgiveness is available. And a quote from Corrie Ten Boom, forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. In other words, she's saying, it's not based on feelings. I feel like I can be forgiven. Or I feel like I'm better than someone else or whatever else. It's an act of the will. We choose to believe Him. We choose to act on what God has said. Have you received God's forgiveness? Done? Been adopted? Your son or daughter of Jesus? Moving forward with Him? Have you received Him as Lord and Savior? Savior freed from and Lord you're following. Have you received His forgiveness today? Yes, we all need it in an ongoing way. Are we taking God at His word? Or are we believing something else? Believing one of the lies, our own emotions, something else other than the God of the universe? He says there's real forgiveness. We're willing to take that look at ourselves. As we prepare for communion, He is not joking and will forgive their sin. Is there something in your life you want to confess? We talked last week or the week before about sins of omission and commission. We commit certain sins, right? If I steal, I commit a sin. But there's other sins where we've been omitting. Love your neighbor. Actively move towards them in a loving manner. Is there sins of one of those or the other? You need to confess this morning. Are you taking Him at His word or are you believing something else? Reflect. Reflect on that as we go to the bread. I'm going to read our verse once more. If my people who are called by my name, humble themselves. That's where it starts. Humble ourselves. Put ourselves under Him. And pray. Just humbly, quietly pray. God, I confess this to You. Seek my face. God, would You show Yourself to me? I need to understand Your holiness. Turn from their wicked ways. God, it's my intention to walk Your way, not my way. He says, then I will hear from heaven. Respond, and I will forgive their sin. Amen. There's forgiveness. reflect. I'll ask those serving communion this week to come forward. We'll pass out the bread. As we do, reflect on your own life. Is there some sin that's unconfessed in life right now?